Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Hey everyone, and you're listening to episode 91 of the LFC Podcasting Couch, and I'm very happy to have one of the guys who regards himself as one of the founding fathers and the glue of another podcast called the LFC Day Trippers. It is Andy, LFC Day Trumper. Oh, I think you've changed your name back now, aren't you? You're officially Day Trumper or a Day Tripper these days?
Yeah, Day Tripper these days. That's your old grandma's course.
So you've told me as well, you're pretty much the head honcho. You're the big man at the Day Trippers. Everyone just listens to you. Is that still accurate?
Oh, yeah. That's me.
Well, it's good to hear. It's amazing to have you on. How about you tell your real role? I know you don't want to talk about yourself too much, but I've kind of thrown you down a well already. And sorry, my cat's running around my freaking house again. Do you mind if I just talk a little bit about you for just a second for people who don't know you? It's kind of like promotion for your pod, even though you're on my pod.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Go on. Yeah.
All right, cool. How about you give us just a one-minuter so you don't, blow too much smoke up your own ass about the LFC Day Trippers? How did it start? What are you all about? And what people should look out for when they start listening to your pod after listening to my massive pod?
Yeah, well, me... and the lads, the Day Trippers, we kind of, in general, kind of got to know each other a long time ago playing football in the Leinster Senior League in Ireland, Dublin. And we were part of a discussion forum, back in the day, people used to talk on forums, not on Twitter.
Yeah.
And that was all about our amateur football league. And then we kind of got our own little corner going that we were all Liverpool fans, and I made another discussion forum, a breakaway forum called the Small Shed Association.
That's long story. Small Shed Association or the Shared Association?
Small Shed Association. It's a long story.
Okay, fair enough. So, keep going.
That was with Phil and Damo, Flood and Steve-O.
Yep.
And then Phil said to me one day, what would be involved in setting up a podcast? And I says, I haven't a clue. Don't listen to them. Don't know anything about them.
Nice.
He says, no, I want to get one going. So he went away and he got some people involved and got some advice. And before you knew it, he had the podcast set up. So he is the founding father.
Wow.
And myself, him, can't remember now, Trev.
Yep.
By Steve Brown, and I think that was it. Recorded our first one, all gathered around a cereal box with a hole cut in it, and one of those dictaphone things sticking up through it.
What?
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It was in 2013. Yeah, 2013.
Jesus.
So
you started through that season. That's a pretty decent place to start.
Well, it was probably the 12-13 season, not 13-4.
Okay. Well, that's not good.
So, and it wasn't at the start of the season. It was halfway through, something like that. So, I think it was around then. So, we hadn't got any kind of permanent home. We just recorded there in it was Steve's office.
Yeah.
And then we done some in Phil's kitchen and. Various play pubs and stuff like that were willing to kind of give us a room for free, stuff like that. And then we got our permanent home in the Astro Park in Talla. It's a five-a-side Astro Turf football facility in Talla. And, we've recorded there every week now since then, pretty much since the season 13-14, the good season.
Nice.
Yeah, and then
the
we got
bunker.
like, kind of got different people along the way, like, you know, who you hear now, like the likes of Neil and Ray and Sean. So yeah, pretty
That's
cool.
cool.
And Jamie, yeah.
And I mean, I'm a huge fan anyway, but it's you don't go to the day trippers for the hard, you know, analytical chat and
No.
the fully factual. I do find it funny though on Twitter, a lot of people are like, oh, and you guys think X, Y, Z. It's like, oh my God, come on. If you haven't worked it out what you're about, it's, I think that's
I
definitely
think,
the pull.
Well, like, I mean, there was so much, so many different, like at the, when we started the Anfield Wrap-Up Round, and they were a very polished, professional type of podcast, although probably a little bit, probably amateur at the time. Like,
Yeah.
they're big now, they weren't as big then. And, but like, we simply just weren't prepared. We all have full-time jobs, we all have kids. Like, we don't have the time to prepare, research, check out stats. Our idea was to just talk about Liverpool as if we're in a pub as a bunch of mates
Nice.
who are all very passionate about the team, and we're not afraid to be wrong. Like, it's not really what it's about. We're not preaching.
Yeah.
We don't want people to follow our views or to for us to change any minds. And we like just it just became kind of funny, and that's kind of where we're at now. Like, there was no intention behind how the direction it was supposed to go. I mean, maybe at the start we had different plans, but it kind of became what it is now. And it's just a good laugh between lads who click, and it kind of makes it hard to get other people involved because not everyone we have on resonates with our humor. So
it's pretty scary. I have to attest. I'm just listening to it. I have been thinking, man, if I was ever on the day trippers, Jesus, I'm not sure if I could keep up. You know, it's just, and you know, even though I'm probably the one to you with the weird accent because I'm in Australia, but you know, trying to understand the accent sometimes is a bit of a struggle on my part of the world. So
yeah, it's funny. Yeah.
But
it's funny. Like we're all kind of mainly from Dublin, but you'll probably notice there's different. Maybe you don't notice, but I notice we've different accents. Some are more. Yeah. Some are more common than others. Steve-O's quite pop.
Goody Yasmin. Was that is that Steve-O or Phil who does that? Goody Yasmin. Kiata.
That's Phil.
Phil. That's just is that just a mistake or I don't even know what's going on.
I think like you hear these names and like I was only interested. And introduce the Kieta. So you don't really know how to actually properly pronounce it. So Phil said that, and we fell around the laughing. So that's just all about it's all. We never really have an agenda or anything like that. It's just
that's
these
cool.
things just gonna happen, and then we go off on a tangent for ages, taking a piss how somebody pronounces the name of the player.
It becomes like a whole episode. Like you pick one thing, like the last one was about Hitler's uncle or something. It's just,
it's just my. So like afterwards, we kind of think, right, what went on there? Like, does anyone remember? Yeah, there was talking about Hitler. So yeah, okay, right, that's the name of the pod.
Yeah, we'll just make a graphic about it.
I go home and do up the graphic and bang it out there. So,
oh, it's amazing. What I do love the most is that you guys. You really don't care about anyone else's opinion of your opinion as well. So you can say anything as wild and crazy or whatever's on your mind, and you really don't give a shit. It's amazing.
It's people on Twitter tend to not people. It's a bit of a broad statement. Not everybody. A lot of the more influential people with big followers tend to take their opinions very seriously.
Yeah.
Like I could never be like that because I know I'm wrong like a lot of the time.
You're not afraid to be wrong. It's good.
Yeah, it's only speaking, and the rest of the lads are the same. You know, I suppose like Phil watches a lot of kind of European League football and stuff. Maybe not as much anymore.
Yeah.
So we used to slag him, like, you know, he'd come up with a name of a player. We should sign him, and we'd be falling around the place laughing at him, telling us we should sign the player. Like, how the fuck can you possibly say that? You've watched him twice. Like, you know, now you want him to be playing on the Liverpool side, you want to be the captain, shut the fuck up. And when you go out to club, you find so many people exactly like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Phil was kind of our Twitter foreign league ITK for a while, and we put manners on him.
That's so funny. Yeah. I did feel a bit bad in one of your latest episodes. Someone did talk about who actually watches the academy, who watches the under 23s, who's seen Kent play, and I'm like, oh crap, that's me. I'm that guy. Because in Australia, it's actually on at a good time. The academy games are like 11 p.m. or 10 p.m., which is good. And so I'm there going, oh, I can't wait to watch the under-18s, the under-23s. And I've been following all these kids go up through the ages. And then when you guys said it in the pod, I'm like, oh, crap, that's me. I'm that guy. Yeah. I'm that loser who watches all the academy games.
I know. It's very hard for – I mean, they're on during the day when like, most of us are in work.
Yeah.
I don't know how – yeah. It's just not possible. We have a bit of a laugh. But – you know, like, if people don't understand at this point, we're not actually serious at all.
Yeah.
Like, if we're saying somebody's a wanker for watching the Bulgarian league or for watching the kids in the academy, we don't actually mean it. Like, you know, that's a little, you know, just let you
Irish
into
humor.
Yeah. Nobody cares. If you want to watch that, that's great. Nobody really, we don't care. We're only slagging. It's only a bit of laugh. So. There you go.
Can you name one person that you've offended the most after they've been on, or while they've been on your podcast?
While they've been on?
Yeah, that'll be a good one. Is there? Because I know you've offended plenty of people off the podcast. That's obvious. I just have to follow your Twitter account to see that.
Oh, God. I've got to think about that because like it's gone back a good while since we've had people on Skype. So.
Oh, right. True.
Yeah, there used to be pauses like where you're thinking, oh shit,
what have we done?
but like, no, most people that come into our studio, or we call it the bunker.
Yeah.
We've kind of sussed them out first. We know that.
They can take a joke.
They'll be all right, you know.
It'll be a bit weird if it was otherwise. Do you have any plan, like? Why did you take the big break? Was it just, I think I talked to you about it before and you're saying, look, everyone was just bloody lazy and no one gives a shit about podcasts anymore. But it seems to be coming back. I saw you did two in 1 week. I was nearly like, my mind blew for a second there. But what's the resurgence all about?
I think it's just being a case where we've got this WhatsApp group and Phil would say, who's available to do podcast this week? And like, it got to the point where it was so... there was so lack of interest. People were just like, going, fuck off. just cancel it. quit the pod. Just forget about it. And it was stupid because like the joke got so much that we have a good thing going. Nobody wanted to really quit deep down. Yeah. We just had to kind of shit or get off the pot. And most people agreed that we want to give this another season or two. Phil said 4 seasons or something he announced one day.
Yeah.
And we were like, you know, what's that? Autumn, winter, spring and summer. we want to keep going for as long as we enjoy it.
Yeah.
Most of us are I can only really speak for myself. We go there, we record. I'm not really aware that we're recording most of the time. We're just chatting.
Yeah.
We're just having a laugh. You know, Phil is constantly like, come closer to the mic, you know. People acting. Yeah, it's like chatting with your mates in the pub with no drink.
Yeah. I just seen like a lot of people comment, go, oh, I hate it when there's 4 or 5 people talking and you can't hear over each other. I'm like, I love that. I genuinely feel like I'm in that circle, but I'm the loser in the corner just sitting there chuckling to myself because I got no mates. But I still find it enjoyable just seeing 5 guys talking away and having a laugh. I think it's absolutely amazing what you guys have.
I know the Anfield Index, for example, I know they're quite specific about nobody speaking over each other and muting each other's mics when they're not speaking, you know, over Skype or that. The Anfield Rappy wouldn't hear it happen. I know I've done the Wolves lately and Craig is quite specific about getting the sound perfect, and there was one pod I did with him, and the sound wasn't right, so he wasn't going to put it out there. And I was like, forget about it. It's an amateur podcast. Don't fucking worry about it. Like, nobody really cares. Like, deep down, I don't care. Okay, if someone's on their journey to work and they hear a little bit of interference while they've got their earplugs on a train, do they really care? I don't know. Because I don't listen to a huge amount of podcasts, I don't know like what the real answer is. But again, we don't care. Like,
exactly.
To listen to our podcast because we're all shouting or Phil is screaming his head off laughing. That's it. Like, just move on. Like, we have a core listenership of I don't know how many thousand people, and then sometimes it gets huge one week and sometimes it's smaller. Can't explain it.
Yeah.
But if we had 20 listeners, we'd probably still be doing it.
Yeah.
It's not really, that's not what it's about. Certainly not for me anyway. Like, we're not in it to make money. We don't make money, you know?
Do you mind me asking about the listenership? I mean, just as a podcast owner myself, and yeah. I'm really enjoying seeing my little baby pod grow, and I'm just having fun along the way. What's been the peak when it comes to listeners? I think you told me when I first started talking to you ages ago, but what'd be the peak amount of listens, I don't know, per week or per podcast that you've had?
Yeah, I think that when we started, not really when we started, a year after we started, the really good season, the run into the league.
Yeah.
Like, I think those weeks, like, we're coming back with like 40 and 50,000 episodes, you know? but then the whole podcasting thing, like, again, like, you hear people giving out, there's too many LFC podcasts. To me, variety is better, better off spreading it out over different, as I say, variety. I think, like, the whole market of LFC podcasts is saturated. Like,
yeah, big time.
AI, at least maybe 200 a week. The Anfield Rap, probably another 50 a week. You know, you do a couple yourselves, the Wolves, there's a couple themselves. There's other ones from various kind of newspapers and stuff. So, like, spread out the listenership, like, it's great, no problem. I don't know what we kind of get now. Phil is the man with the numbers, but it's nothing like 40 or 50,000 anymore. Like, maybe 5, 6, 7,000.
It's bloody, you know, good still. I mean, you took such a big break, and to still keep that core listenership is awesome. And as you said, it's spread out a lot. And I guess it's about people finding what they like the most as well. And mine's like a really baby version of what you guys do, and just not as funny. It's just me talking on monotone. Sorry, you go.
You're doing it a long time, niche, like, and you'll find your niche.
My niche. Haven't heard that one before. it's all right. Far away, sorry. Keep going.
So, you'll, I think it's pretty cool what you're doing, to be honest. Having different people on all the time, it keeps things fresh. Like, people are going to be interested to hear different fans' point of views. Like, there was the fella last week, and we got a story about his granddad and going over from all the way from Australia to Liverpool when he was 10, 11. That's amazing. Like, you know, and people are really interested in hearing stories like that as well. You've got the Anfield Rap, who are so professional. They're in touch quite closely with the club now. They get players on. They do big events that are really, really respected. The Anfield Index, they do all our stats stuff and the pressing stats and
shows and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's for people. Like, there is people out there who really, really love that stuff, and that's amazing, brilliant. Fair play to them.
Mm.
We don't. Our thing is just a chat and chat, as I say, in a pub, having a bit of a laugh. And I think Craig and the Wolves are kind of a little bit like that as well. You know. They've just got different guys. They're just doing it over Skype.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I've totally guessed my way through my whole pod completely. I didn't know what it was. It was just me wanting to talk because I had time on my hands. And then I went, maybe I should invite people and talk to them. And I geeked my way through the technology to make it happen. But
yeah,
it's cool. People like yourself and Craig initially with me and a few of the other guys, we're all here to help each other out as well. I love that about it. It's like a weird little podcast community with very little animosity, which is nice, until you say something racist, of course.
Or you say something that like somebody prefers to read between the lines and make up
bigger than it is. Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like you've got Twitter exploding and accusations being thrown out there. But we always say if you took it personally, you know, you'd be pissed off. But it's actually Twitter's not real. It's not how people behave on Twitter is not how they behave in real life. Because we know if you were to behave like that in real life, you'd probably be bashed.
I was going to say that. Was it Steve-O who did the interview with Michael Beale?
Yeah.
It was him. Because I see him on Twitter and I see the stuff he writes on Twitter. And he does not speak at all like he writes on Twitter at all. On Twitter, he's like the most controversial guy in the world and happy to give it to anybody. And then you hear him in Michael Beale, and he sounds like the most polished, you know, well-educated, totally normal, never going to swear at anybody kind of person. I'm like, that's definitely not the same person.
No, because it's not. And the way I go on Twitter is not the same as I go on in real life. We all have our kind of professional lives. You know, Steve was talking to Michael Beale. He's himself. Like, this is Steve all day to day. How he probably conduct himself in their work, for example, or just with his proper mates, or you know, being himself. Twitter's just a pantomime, and a lot of the time, our podcast, I suppose, is a bit pantomime as well. Like we all sort of like bring out this wacky part of our personalities for an hour and have a laugh, like, you know, and everyone, you know, you don't come into the bunker in bad form. No. If you're in bad form, just don't bother coming in. Yeah, you have to be in good form. And like some of the best podcasts we've done, we've just come off the back of a bad defeat or played really poorly. And we've said, fuck it, let's go in, record the podcast, everyone get themselves into good humour, and we'll have a laugh about it.
Nice.
And we've took the piss out of players, and we've took the piss out of different people on Twitter, tweeting throughout the game, like getting... And it's only football. Like, it is only football. We're as passionate about the game, but it is only sport.
It's entertainment, yeah.
Yeah, and Twitter podcasts, they're not... It's not real. It's just like, you know, something... It's just a different part of our daily week.
Yeah, definitely.
Steve-O chatting away to Michael Beale. Like that's more like the real Steve-O, I suppose.
That's crazy. Like I was thinking about it the other day. Like I've had to more and more think about my replies to people. The more like I have to be slightly responsible as my podcast gets slightly bigger and I've got, you know, sponsors or whatever to think about. But I've actually had to hold myself and go, no, I can't actually be a prick with this reply. I've got to actually be kind of nice. And I realize how hard it is to be a nice guy on Twitter, because it's so easy to just be naturally angry or be naturally just respond with whatever is going through your mind. It's so much harder to be nice.
I think on Twitter, like, I tend opinions are great, like they're fine. It's what bugs me is the irrational scale, whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah.
Just I can't be nice to these people. It's just ridiculous. And like, to be honest, I think people with such an already negative opinion towards the club are toxic. Like they're
how old's the kid, out of interest?
He's three.
Three, yeah. Congrats.
He's just singing about dinosaurs there. Don't mind him.
Nice. I did that this morning. Sweet.
Yeah, like I think already negative fans are toxic, and because they gain followers and people start listening to their opinions, start developing opinions exactly like theirs, and I'm just gonna spread this this thing through the fan base, and then all the positive people they're not really good either, because they're not kind of on the same planet when it comes to, because this club needs to get better. They've been shit for too long, not winning a title in so long. There's no point in pretending everything is rosy either. So that drives me mad. Overly positive people and overly negative people to an irrational scale. Like, you know, I wouldn't waste my time trying to be nice to them.
I do tend to find myself to be irrationally positive a lot, just mostly because I like to think the best of everything, especially my club. So I'll admit that I do yeah. find myself tweeting out predominantly positive things. But at the end of the day, if we play terribly and we play shit, I'll say why. It's as simple as that. And
that's what makes it rational, though, you know. You're calling as it is.
Yeah, and I'll always go back to, don't worry, we've got Klopp. If I think of Klopp left, I would probably crumble. I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah, but that's not irrational. Like, we have got Klopp. He's one of the best managers in the world. Like, that's everything to be positive about, you know.
Yeah, he's proven that he can do the thing. Oh my god. And speaking of, do you want to talk a little bit about the rumors and that junk, or is that completely not interest you? I'm just trying to work out what you'd like. Yeah. So
let's do it. Of course, it interests me. I'd love to think Liverpool are signing all these players, but I'm not convinced until they're leaning.
Yeah, perfect. If they are leaning, and the main ones that we seem to be targeting are Kieta and Virgil van Dijk. I don't know how you can pronounce that one differently. We've got Mo Salah. If we had just those three, what do you think the difference would be to the club moving forward? Do you think, even with we've now got Europe to contend with and stuff like that, do you think we'll be able to at least still grab top four, or would you be aiming higher?
With them three, well, I think, okay, there's strong rumours about Robertson as well. As a left back, he's an upgrade. He's an upgrade on Milner as a left back. You know, Milner's a great pro. I want to see him in the team. If it's not like starting every week at left back, it's coming on the odd time. Like, because he done a bang up job from right wing the season before. You know, lots of decent deliveries. He's just from left ball, it's quite difficult for him to come back onto his right foot. And so as a left back, having Robertson in the team would be an upgrade. Having Van Dijk instead of Lovren would be an upgrade on the team. Having Van Dijk instead of Matip would be an upgrade in the team. So just having him in the team alone is going to cut out a few goals, you know. But a lot of our problems are coming from the system, from a high line, leaving lots of space in behind, from our centre backs getting dragged so far apart so often. And that's not really going to change with having Van Dijk in the team. So we just have to hope that he's better from set pieces and stuff, like he's a better organiser, communications a bit better. Having Robertson, who's an actual proper left back, should help as well.
With a left foot.
So I think that's going to be massive, having two things like that going on. Should cut out kind of 10 goals in the league a season, maybe. Yeah. And then have someone like Kieta in the side who's so high energy. He's quick in a tackle, he's quick in attack. You know, he's going to add something to that midfield that maybe Shan or Henderson can't give.
Yeah.
So that's going to improve us. So we're talking about players that are coming into the 11 as opposed to, you know, bumping up this squad that we need for the Champions League. So we're seeing players like Emre Can or Wijnaldum or Henderson dropping out of side or Milner dropping out of side. They're not going to be weak. The squad is going to be better. We're going to have a better 16 or 18.
Yeah.
But it's when we start selling Moreno and like Sturridge is going to be staying. But when we start selling our backup players, like Sacco, who's been on loan, we want to be replacing these with better fringe players that can come in with a lot of injuries. Yeah, but like that one worries me, because Chamberlain's not going to leave Arsenal's bench to sit on Liverpool's bench. Like, he's clear.
Theory, if you want me to tell you my theory,
go for it.
Okay, so this decision for him is going to entirely revolve around the World Cup next year. Now, Arsenal not being in the Champions League, as well as not having a very good English core, especially a core of midfielders around him, if he was playing with or replacing Klein and or coming off the bench and building some kind of chemistry with Lallana and Henderson, and maybe it is Lallana, Henderson and Klein in the midfield. In the midfield with Klein on the right for a game or two, and he builds some great chemistry there. And then he's playing in the highest level of football, being the Champions League and or some good level of Europe. ended playing well in the league. I think if he was doing that and playing in that, or he's doing the opposite, being in Arsenal and coming off Arsenal's bench to play with some non-English players playing not in the Champions League, because I don't think he's a first-team starter for them either. I think his decision to come to Liverpool will very heavily be focused on getting him to the World Cup. So weighing up the two options, coming off the bench for Arsenal or coming off the bench for Liverpool, I would heavily weigh the Liverpool option would give him a much better chance, at least if he believes in himself to form that chemistry, to get to the World Cup. That's my theory.
Yeah, that's a good theory. He's there with Wenger, who he probably thought might have been gone this summer, and a new manager come in and freshen him up because his development has stalled. Maybe he thinks Klopp can bring him on as a player as well. So for him, maybe, yeah, it does make sense. But I just don't know. I don't know where he really fits in. You know, yeah, he could play right back sometimes. He could play up in attack. He could play in the middle of the park. He's quite a good utility player.
Yeah.
But we do have a lot of players. We do have a lot of options in midfield. You know, we've got Jan Kia that comes in. Wijnaldum. So, you know, there's a lot of options in the centre midfield. And all these players will expect games. Like,
yeah,
they'll all want to play their fair share of games. Like, we'll have our spine, and only next season will tell us who's going to be the ever presence. Like, you know, you're going to have your goalkeeper. You're probably going to, if Van Dijk comes in, he's going to play most games. His partnership might chop and change between Lovren and Matip. You're going to have one midfield, centre midfield, who's going to play all the time, and then we're going to have Bobby Firmino and Coutinho playing all the time. Salah might drop out of the team. Mane might drop out of the team. So, but there's apart from the four or five players who are going to play pretty much every game, everybody else needs to get minutes. And I know that, like, injuries and form and different things, suspensions, sort these problems out. But when I think of Chamberlain, I think of, shit, who's gone?
Yeah.
You know, he's at too much of a, you know, a part of his career there where he needs to be playing football. He needs to be playing a lot of football, and whether Liverpool can offer him all the minutes he needs to achieve this World Cup ambition of his, I don't know. I genuinely worried about Coutinho gone. That might be just the kind of spread into me by Liverpool over the last few seasons.
I don't think he'll leave at least this year because of the World Cup. And Coutinho, especially when he's just been named captain, he's going to be on cloud nine about where he is in life. And for him to suddenly, just before the World Cup, change it up, move it to an unfamiliar club, and every player takes a good 12 months to get familiar with a club. Yeah, no matter how good you are, even Suarez, his first 6 months, he wasn't doing so well at Barcelona. I think if he moved, he could be really risking his World Cup starting position if he did that. He's good enough to do it, but I think that will be weighing on his mind. Maybe after the World Cup, maybe I'll properly look at where to go next in Barcelona. I think this year he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, hopefully. And, like, Liverpool have been good to Coutinho. Like, they've taken him from Milan, Inter, he wasn't doing too good there. So you're kind of putting him on the map, making him Brazil captain. He's adored by the fans.
Yeah.
He won't experience that. Any player that's ever left Liverpool, like Torres, like, they've always said,
McMahon, Owen,
they never feel the same. Like, they're never adored the same. And it must be, like, I know money's really important as well, but it must be important for a player to feel like that.
Yeah.
Every week, because it's confidence, isn't it? Football is a confidence game, and if fans are behind you, you're going to play better football.
Yeah, that's kind of what I feel sorry about Sturridge with as well. I mean, he's never going to change, but the Liverpool fans have never, even in his highest of highest moments, never even had the song for the guy. So what are you going to do, shout Sturridge or something from the stands? But he hasn't really connected with the Liverpool crowd, so...
Yeah, his career's been quite stop start. Like, if there was a thing, songs they invent themselves, like, with the strangest of incidents, you know. But because Sturridge has never really kind of stayed on the team for long enough, maybe that's why, I don't know. His name isn't easy enough to make up a song. They still chant Sturridge and give him a clap and all that. the one that only Kenny got and Fowler got, stuff like that. So I don't know. At the game, I see him as being adored and appreciated. Maybe not so much on Twitter. There is a split. I don't think anyone on Twitter, even as mad as it is, denies his quality. They just deny the fact that he's got a career, a future at the club because of his injuries. Fans don't like that. But I think he's adored at the ground. Yeah. I've never really heard people bitch about him in the stands. I've never heard anyone call him lazy from the stands or anything like that. But on Twitter, you would imagine, from what some people say, there's this major racist narrative against them. But it's not the case. Like, it just is what it is. Like, you know, he has his kind of persona on the pitch, which does maybe give off the impression that he's less, you know, he cares a little less than most.
Yeah.
But realistically, that's just people trying to look for things where they don't exist. Like, you know, cameras panning in on his face on the bench. It doesn't look good, but
That's his resting face.
that's his face. Leave his face alone.
Some people just have a really bad resting bitch face. He just has it all the time. So, and that's Studgy Boy. But I absolutely love the guy on camera. Apparently, he's very different off camera. But, you know, I just love the guy completely. He's just
I think he's great. The only thing that concerns me is whether he can stay fit for long enough. He's the type of player you need to build a team around. You can't build your team around a player who can't stay in the team for more than a few games or play a couple of games a week. It's just not possible. If we had Suarez in the team, like, it'd be incredible. Like, you build a team around him, you play every week for you. Like, I think he played about 100 games for Barca last year, and it wasn't a bother. Not everybody's body is up for that. Like, Sturridge has been through a lot already for such a young player. He can't do that. It's just a fact of life. It's whether Klopp and him can come to some sort of an amicable arrangement that, sorry, Daniel, you're not number one. You're going to come on. You're going to play when I feel you're fit enough. You're part of the cogs here in the machine. You're not the main man. And if Sturridge can live with that, that's great. Yeah. But the question is, like, you can't.
And it's quite interesting because, you know, everyone says, oh, it's Sturridge, you need to play with a partner. It needs to be with another out-and-out striker like Origi. And they did great. You know, Origi has very simple striking. He's just always on the last man trying to drag the defender out. And Sturridge comes in. But now I'm thinking, if he had Salah and Mane on the side, and Salah and Mane act very much as, you know, the wingers that come in to, you know, inside the box. I think I saw a stat where 34 of Salah's 41 goals for Roma were inside the box. So he doesn't just stay out wide, he comes in. So when Sturridge is doing his runs and going everywhere, Salah and Mane will be running inside the box. And I mean, I'm still a massive Firmino fan, so I'm expecting Firmino to do the same. When Firmino drops back, he's making space for Mane and Salah to burn up the field, which will be just beautiful to see. But
I don't think it's about getting bodies forward. We've never, under Klopp, we get bodies forward. We get players in the box, but that's not really where Sturridge needs the help. I think it's when he is a bit isolated, he needs like a centre back needs his other centre back partnership near him.
Yeah.
Just to control things a bit better. Sturridge needs somebody up top to drag the other defender away, to help him find his space, to help him find his opportunity to get in between the lines, make runs. It's just, I don't know whether Salah and Mane really help him with that.
They'll distract people at least, hopefully.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to be top scorer next season?
For us?
No, for Chelsea.
That'd be a random question. No, it's funny. Like, out of the rest of the top six, Dara, who do you think is going to be top scorer next season? You don't know.
Dino the dinosaur.
Everybody's kind of had their big scorers, like, you know, United, Ibrahimovic, Arsenal had Sanchez, Chelsea, Costa, Spurs, Kane. We don't really have that. We spread our goals throughout the team. Like, what was the top scorer? Maybe
13 for
Coutinho
Mane, I
with
think.
14, something like that.
Something like
Was
that.
it? I think we're going to see that again, unless he buys an out-and-out striker. I think we're just going to see the same again. It's all about who stays fit for long enough between Coutinho, Mane, Salah. They'll all score goals, hopefully. I'd say rather than have a 30 goal a season player, we're going to have 10 goals.
I was thinking about that the other day. 13-14 season. Oh, wait, last season, didn't we score something like 66 goals in the entire league season? Something like that. 66 or 70. Something relatively low. And I was thinking in that huge season, 13-14, Suarez scored 31 and Sturridge scored 24, I think. So that's like 55 goals between two players. And you're like, wow, that's five of our current players, if you want to put it like that. So if we somehow reclaim that kind of attacking form again while having a solid defense, who knows? We've got to remember Skrtel scored 7 goals that season too, so maybe everyone just fell asleep and pretended they're in La Liga or something for a year.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to check how many goals he scored last season, but it was like the second highest, wasn't
Yeah, it was
Decent, you know,
I'll take a look.
decent. Yeah, but I think our Klopp system, the way Klopp plays, where we scored most of our goals between August and November last season. But I think that in that sort of system, the goals are going to come from just being so attacking, and you're going to concede goals. Whereas under Rodgers, the goals came from such a formidable striker in Suarez and Sturridge as well. We're probably not going to have that under Klopp until he finds a player that can play up top in his own, who's all action, scoring plenty of goals, like the likes of Aubameyang. We need to find out one of them, and I think then at that point he can go back to some sort of a 4-2-3-1, where he's got two kind of midfield screeners, and the fullbacks don't necessarily need to get so far forward and leave all the space in behind. So at the moment, I think he's playing with the players he has, with the players who are available out there, who he can do something with. But in the long run, I'd say, yeah, we probably will end up with a striker who's going to score ridiculous amount of goals. They're hard to find.
We'll find it. What I'm most excited about next season is definitely the bench, and that sounds like the weirdest thing in the world. But you put in Van Dijk, you put in, let's say, Naby Keita, we put in Mo Salah, and suddenly on the bench you have Lovren, you have a combination of maybe, Emre Can, Adam Lallana, Gini Wijnaldum, Henderson, someone like that's on the bench. Potentially with Salah coming on, maybe Coutinho is on the bench and you bring Coutinho off. With Firmino playing, you have Origi and Sturridge playing, or if Sturridge is starting, Firmino's on the bench. Our bench for the first time in many years is going to be super, super strong. And I put out a tweet not too long ago of how far we came. It was Liverpool's reserves in Klopp's very first game against us, for us, sorry. Now it's against the Spurs, the nil all game when everyone just running around headless chicken style. And we thought, oh my God, we're a whole new world. I think I found it. Here we go. So I'll read out the names of the players. This is the bench in Klopp's very first game for us. Kolo Touré, Joe Allen, Jordan Ibe, Adam Bogdan, Jerome Sinclair, João Carlos Teixeira, and Connor Randall. How poor is that bench? I'll read it again in case someone missed it. Kolo Touré, Joe Allen, Jordan Ibe, Adam Bogdan, Jerome Sinclair, João Carlos Teixeira, and Connor Randall. Wow.
I mean that's terrible. And I think Kenny had something similar when he took over from Hodgson, where they showed I was like a. Like it was a tweet that done around, like, and I mean, even the team, like, Konchesky in it and Paulson, and
Oh, Jesus.
so depressing. You know, we've come a long way, and you've got all the FSG outers who who think that they haven't come along. It's a different team. It's a different club. Like, it's madness that we haven't progressed. Like, to think that we went from attracting Rodgers and Martinez to Klopp and Ancelotti, and now we're talking about a bench that's going to consist of Emre Can, one of Germany's best up-and-coming players, Coutinho, who's the Brazilian captain, you know, from England, Sturridge, who's probably the best striker when fit in England. You know, these players could be on our bench. You know, Salah, like, at, you know, at 35, I think we've got him at a good deal at 35 million. One of the quickest players in the league, Mane. Like, imagine these guys who at your disposal come on. Hopefully they can stay fit, and we do have that luxury. But it's incredible. It's incredible when you look back at them, at that bench you just gave there. Like, you know.
Yeah, and you think about this is exactly what Chelsea and City have been doing to win all these titles over the last few years. It's fantastic to see Man United drop off, but when you look at the benches of City and Chelsea, and you see Fabregas, and you see De Bruyne, and you see all these bloody people on the bench, even Aguero on the bench, you're like, Christ, these guys can bring these boys on and change a game in an instant. And we've had maybe one guy, and everyone's like, Klopp, why don't you make a change? It's like, yeah, that's probably because he's got, you know, young Ben Woodburn on the bench, and I love Woodburn, you know, completely, but at 17 years old, you don't want him to come on against Chelsea to try and win you a game. So it's I'm super excited. This is my overly unrealistic positivity coming out.
Yeah, well, assuming we get these players, like, then we can start properly getting excited. But I don't think this, all these links and all these attempts to sign these players is PR. Like, it's PR suicide if we don't come into the start of the season having spent that sort of money, having brought in these type of players who have strengthened us to the levels that we weren't promised. Like, John Henry's never come out and said, we're spending 300 million.
Scrooge McDuck. It's been
noises, it's been rumours, speculation, but it's quite strong, the speculation. I'd imagine we're going to do this sort of damage in the transfer market, pay the players in a way that only City, Chelsea and United have been doing.
Yeah, completely.
It'd be interesting to see how Klopp does actually manage a team, a squad that he has to rotate. Now, I didn't watch Dortmund all the time. I didn't watch the German league when he was there.
Yeah, that's Phil about
but that. I believe he didn't. I believe he didn't rotate too much, and it was be kind of his downfall.
Right.
That's what kind of killed him in the end. So, he's a good man, Klopp, and I think he's willing to learn, and he's learning all the time. And he's realised that all these games, like playing 50 games over Christmas alone, has taught him, I need a squad here. I need to have maybe six top midfielders to compete for three positions, some of them that can play elsewhere in the team. Like, if that's where we're going, I'm fucking excited too. But I really, really want to see these players come in first before I get too excited.
Now, not to burst your excitement bubble, but I'm going to make you inflate that excitement bubble as much as I can. League Cup, FA Cup, Champions League, Premier League, which one are we going to win? How many are we going to win?
Yeah, ask me that question in August when all our transfer deals are
done. I'm asking you right now. Give me your prediction at least for Premier League finishing. Where are we going to finish?
We're going to win the league.
Okay, cool.
We're going to win the Champions League. We're going to win the FA Cup. We're going to win the League Cup. And we're going to do all of that.
Yeah, great.
Just going to do all of that.
The Mickey Mouse quadruple.
We're going to win the Charity Shield as well, even though we're not doing it. We're still going to win it.
I think we've got a good shot at winning Bundesliga too. I mean, if we try hard enough, I think we could. Yeah. So, we'll try our best. All right, mate. Do you have any shout outs you want to give out to anybody before we close it off for today?
Shout outs. I don't.
It's fair. They're all cunts. It goes with your personality, you bastard.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
shout out to the LFC Day Trippers. We're going big this year. Keep an eye on us. Have a listen. See if you like it. If you don't like it, then tough shit, we don't care.
And that's it. That was the same shout out I was going to do. Guys, if you're not listening to LFC Day Trippers, give it a shout. It's one of those podcasts where you can just stick in your ears and go for a long walk, and you'll find yourself laughing stupidly in the middle of a street, and people are walking past you, you know, just wondering what the hell drugs you're on. So,
That's the best bit of feedback we ever get is people tweeting and saying, you know, I was sitting in a hospital waiting room, or a next thing, I just burst out laughing, and they were having fits of giggles on a train or a bus, or they were skiving in the office and had the head down with the earphones and just start laughing out loud, and people wondering what the hell was going on. And that's what keeps us going.
I think the one that did it to me recently was the whole tapas up thing with the tapas and the entrees and stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I didn't quite get it, but at the same time, I didn't care. I just laughed my head off anyway. So
that was a classic from Neil. So yeah,
awesome. Keep up the good work, man. Well, thank you so much, Andy. If you want to follow Andy, he is Jesus Christ, what is your Twitter handle these days? Here we go. AY Private Eye.
Yeah. How hard is that? AY Private Eye.
Yeah. Makes sense. So AY Private Eye. Follow him on Twitter, guys, and thank you so much for coming on the pod. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, nice one for having me, Niche. Appreciate it. And keep up the good work yourself.
I'll try my best. If I stop randomly, then Rich and someone else will take it up, and my cat's probably eating me in my house or something. All right, guys.
Yeah, I seen this fucking thing floating around there a minute ago on the desk. Seriously.
You hate cats, don't you?
Stop it. Oh, they're disgusting.
You're going to curb stomp my cat if you
are you sure you're not some sort of feminist activist or something like that?
Maybe. It's a really stupid story, but it's a rescue cat. I wanted an old lady, so I got her when she's 5. She's like 8 years old now, completely senile already. So I'm trying to do my thing for the helpless. So that's why I brought you on the pod. Thanks, mate.
Oh, you're a vegan and you're a feminist.
Gender neutral niche. How dare you call me a man? Anyway, why have I ended the pod like this? Thanks a lot for listening, everyone. I'm just going to stop. Bye.
Lovely cushion header.